Sarah, believing the impossible. The Bible gives us many inspiring stories of women who demonstrated extraordinary faith. For instance, we read of Ruth, a Moabite widow. She chose to follow the God of Israel, and her faith led her to Boaz and into the lineage of the Messiah. We read of Esther. She trusted God's purpose for her position as queen of Persia, and she risked her life to save her Jewish people from destruction. These women trusted God despite difficult challenges, showing us that faith is not bound by gender, status, or circumstances. And these women of faith reminds us that God rewards those who trust in Him. Another woman who exhibited extraordinary faith is Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And the writer to the Hebrews commends Sarah for her faith. He says in chapter 11 and verse 11, "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." When we trace Sarah's story from Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 21, we see a complex but wonderful journey of faith, one that includes struggles, flaws, growth, and finally fulfillment. It seems incredible that Sarah, with all her flaws and failings, is a model of faith for us. Yet we are going to see that she was named among the heroes of faith. How Sarah's faith was awakened by God in such a spectacular manner. Now, Sarah's faith was not perfect, but it was real, and God honored her faith. The story of Sarah's life begins with God's remarkable promise of a seed or offspring to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. These verses tell us of God's call to Abram, or Abraham as he was called then, to leave his country and to his kindred, and to go into a place, to a land that God would show him. And God promised that he will make Abraham a great nation, and that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. When Abraham and Sarah got to the land that God promised to give him, God appeared to Abraham again, and God said to him, "Unto thy seed, or to your descendants, will I give this land." When God first gave this promise in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was 10 years younger, and so she was 65 years old. God then reiterated his promise to Abraham multiple times. We read of the promise also in chapter 15, chapter 17, and also chapter 18 of Genesis. In fact, God changed Abraham's name to Abraham. The name Abraham means father of many nations. God changed his name to reaffirm the promise he made to Abraham. And on one starry night, God took Abraham outdoors and asked him to count the stars in the sky. God said to Abraham in Genesis 15 and verse 5, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars," or "number the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." God promised Abraham that his offsprings will be as numerous as the countless stars in the sky. Now, God also made clear to Abraham, if you look at the verse before, in verse 4, God said, "That which shall come forth out of thy bowels shall be thy heir." In other words, your very own son shall be your heir. Why? Because Abraham, childless and nearing old age, had initially considered adopting Eliezer, his male servant, as his heir. And God said, "No, that which shall come forth out of thy own bowels, your own flesh and blood, that shall be thy heir." Now, undoubtedly, Sarah also knew of the promise of God. And so this morning, we want to look at Sarah's reaction to God's promise in Genesis chapter 18. And then we want to cross-reference it with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. The reaction of Sarah to the promise of God followed a threefold course. And I'd like to draw three lessons about faith for our application. Now, first of all, faith is not always perfect. Little, if anything, will lead us to believe in the intervening chapters in Genesis 12 to 21 that Sarah was distinguished for her faith. The reaction of Sarah to the promise of God in Genesis 18, our text for this morning, was one of sheer incredulousness or unbelief. This incident took place some 24 years after God first made the promise to Abraham of a seed. By now, Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old. Look at verse 1. We are told, and the Lord here, as you will see in our Bible, is capitalized. It refers to Yahweh, to Jehovah. And the Lord appeared to Abraham, and Abraham sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abraham was outside his tent when he saw three mysterious men standing in front of him. And one of them was the Lord himself, God Almighty, taking on the appearance of a man, as verse 1 reveals to us. Where was Sarah? If you look at verse 9, Sarah was inside the tent. And as she was preparing a meal for these unexpected visitors inside the tent, God told Abraham that by the next year, they would have a son born to them. Verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. In other words, I will return to you about this time next year. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And the second part of verse 10 tells us that Sarah was inside the tent, behind the tent door, and she heard what the Lord had said to Abraham. Now, how did Sarah respond to what she heard? Scripture records for us in verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. When Sarah heard the promise that she would conceive and bear a son in her old age, her initial reaction, perhaps understandably and logically, was to laugh. You see, her laugh was a laugh of unbelief or skepticism. This was not a laugh of joy, but a laugh of impossibility. It just cannot be true. Why? Because Sarah was doubly barren, and so it was a biological impossibility. First of all, because of her inability to conceive. When we are first introduced to Sarah, back in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30, we are told that she was barren. The verse says, now Sarai was barren. She had no child. She was unable to conceive. Sarah initially became excited about the promise made to Abraham, and she saw that she had a definite part in the bringing forth of a great nation. But try as they might, nothing happened. No child was conceived. Sarah remained barren. In fact, in Genesis chapter 16, after 10 years of waiting, Sarah offered her maidservant Hagar to Abraham, you know, in an attempt to help God fulfill his promise. And this, of course, led to the birth of Ishmael. Such action hardly demonstrates faith in God. And we all know what a disaster that was. Sarah made the mistake of trying to give God a hand. And there's always a recipe for trouble. Secondly, Sarah, because of her age, was unable to conceive. Look at verse 11. We are told that now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Abraham and Sarah were old, 99, 89. And Sarah was well past the age of childbearing. If you look at the verse, it says, it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, Sarah has gone through menopause. You know, no more eggs left. It's all done, all set. In fact, if you compare it with Romans chapter 4, verse 19, we are told that Sarah's womb was dead. Deadness of Sarah's womb. It was not possible for her to conceive naturally. And so, humanly speaking, it was just impossible for Sarah to bear a child at the age of 89. She was past the time of having children, and disappointment had come time after time. The prophecy and the promise that she would be a mother by the next year was just laughable. It's just too good to be true. In fact, you know, it sounds absurd. But what Sarah shows us here in Genesis chapter 18 is that faith is not necessarily a faith that is always perfectly expressed. Do you sometimes laugh inwardly? Do you sometimes doubt when God calls you to believe in something beyond your understanding? Well, if you have laughed at God's promise, or God's promises, you are in good company this morning. Even heroes of faith have moments of doubts or internal struggles. We all imagine, you know, faith as bold, as unwavering, as flawless. But the Bible paints a more realistic, a more honest picture. Faith sometimes falters. Sarah, like all of us, faltered in her faith. And some of us, we do struggle with doubts and unbelief, especially when the circumstances seem impossible. You will recall the disciples of Jesus. What was their immediate response when they were told of the empty tomb and of Jesus being raised from the dead? The Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 recorded for us that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women told these things unto the apostles. And look at their response, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, as nonsensical, and they believed them not. They refused to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. On an earlier occasion, the disciples of Jesus in the storm in the Sea of Galilee, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8, verse 22, Jesus instructed his disciples, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." But when the storm came, the disciples, they all panicked. And they woke Jesus up, crying in panic mode, "Master, Master, we perish." Now, Jesus had already told them clearly that they will be crossing over to the other side of the lake, that they will not be stranded, neither would they be drowned, but they will be crossing over to the other side of the lake. And they had seen Jesus perform countless miracles and walk with him day by day, but they still found it hard to believe that Jesus would not let them drown. They doubted. And so the Lord chided them. The Lord said, "Where is your faith?" Now, even strong believers struggle with doubts. In the Gospel of Luke, we have the story of Zacharias the priest and his wife Elizabeth, who were said to be righteous, blameless before God. And so they were a godly couple, and they had no child. Similar to Abraham and Sarah, the narrative says that Elizabeth was barren. They were advanced in years, implying that they were old and beyond the natural years of childbearing. While Zacharias was serving as priest before God in the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." What was Zechariah's response? His response was, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." He was basically saying to the angel, "How do I know what you are saying is true? Look at how old Elizabeth and I. How can this be possible?" You know, Zechariah's response was one of unbelief. And who was Zechariah? Zechariah was a priest ministering in the temple. A priest who would have known how God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child in their old age. And yet, Zechariah showed such unbelief when a similar promise was made to him. We all must acknowledge that our faith may be imperfect, may be weak, and we are not always strong in faith. In the gospel account which we read earlier, a father brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus, desperate for help, by acknowledging his own lack of faith. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." But the father cried out with tears, "I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." This cry is a powerful acknowledgement of the struggle between faith and doubt, an experience we also face, and also the need for God's grace to strengthen our faith. And Jesus did not reject this father. He honored his small, struggling faith. Jesus healed his son. God doesn't wait for perfect faith to work miracles. He honors real faith, even though at times it is mixed with doubts or fears. And so listen carefully. Faith does not always come instantly. You know, faith is not a straight line. It grows through wrestling and struggling. Faith is not about perfection, but about progress. You know, like a child learning to walk, a child wobbles and falls many times before walking confidently. The falling does not mean failure. It is part of learning to walk. What is really important is what you do with your doubts or struggles. Bring your doubts to God and be honest with God about your struggles and doubts. Yes, faith can be weak, but God does not reject weak faith. In fact, He meets us in our doubts and He strengthens our trust in Him. Jesus does not reject those who are weak or struggling. The Bible says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench." Instead, the Lord offers grace and restoration. And so the first lesson that we can draw from Sarah's story is that faith isn't about never doubting. It is about continuing to trust God even when we do. Faith does not require perfect confidence. Faith requires honest surrender to God. Faith is not the absence of fears or doubts, but learning to trust God in the midst of it. And so if you are struggling to believe what God has promised, you are not alone. Sarah struggled too, but God did not give up on her. God came to her. God spoke to her. And God won't give up on you either. And that's the first lesson that we see from Genesis chapter 18. Now, the second lesson that we learn is this. Faith rests on God's promise. Fast forward to the New Testament, to Hebrews 11, the writer highlights Sarah's faith. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Sarah, the one who laughed, yes, because even though her faith faltered, Sarah came round to trust in God's promise and also God's faithfulness. Now, I want you to note, the writer to the Hebrews does not focus on Sarah's laughter. He highlights her faith and how comforting it is that God remembers our faith, not all our failures. How did Sarah come to believe God's promise? The Bible does not give us a step-by-step account of Sarah's journey from doubt to faith. But when we carefully piece together Genesis 18 and Hebrews 11:11, we can trace how Sarah came to believe God's promise of a child. And the key to this change is found in this expression in Hebrews 11:11. She judged him faithful who had promised. And that was good judgment, was it not? Sarah considered God who had given her the promise to be reliable and true to his promise. And this is what faith is. What is faith? Faith is believing in God's promises. Now look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18 tells us that when God appeared to Abraham, we know that Sarah was inside the tent, hidden from view, but overhearing the conversation. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 tells us that Sarah heard the conversation between God and Abraham. And when God gave the promise, Sarah laughed within herself. Look at verse 11. Sarah laughed within herself. And so Sarah's laughter was an internal reaction. She laughed to herself. No sound was heard, and no facial expression, no scoff, no frown was seen, because she was behind the tent door. Sarah laughed within herself. But the omniscient God saw and knew what transpired in her inner being. And God said to Abraham in verse 13, "Wherefore, or why did Sarah laugh?" God knew. And then God asked a rhetorical question, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And this is the heart of the matter. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This question is a turning point in the whole encounter, because it redirects Sarah's focus, you know, who was listening, from her physical limitations to God's omnipotence. And God went on to restate the promise that at the appointed time next year, Sarah would have a son. Verse 14, at the appointed time, or at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, all of us struggle with issues of faith. Sometimes the realities of life, especially when we are going through trials and difficulties and hardship, made it difficult to believe the promises of God, that they will come true. And we doubt the Lord's power to do what He says He will do in His Word. But today, God asks us the same question that He asked Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now think about it. Is there any problem you are facing that is too hard for God to solve? Perhaps the salvation of a loved one, or as Pastor has prayed, you know, for our wayward child. Is there a problem that just got so bad that God will have to say, sorry, you know, now it's too tough for me to handle? No, nothing is too hard for God. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Now, Sarah, when she heard that conversation, she must have been surprised or shocked that the person or the visitor had detected her laugh. And when she tried to deny it, the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Look at verse 15. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. It was then that Sarah must have realized that the person who made this promise knows everything about me, even my private unbelieving thoughts, and he is no ordinary stranger, but the Lord himself, and he made the promise to me. And I believe from this point on, Sarah's faith was awakened. This was a divine encounter, and this divine confrontation planted the seed of trust in her. Robert Bruce, a 16th century Scottish preacher, said this: It was not a mere man who was dealing with her, neither was it an angel. For angels cannot see into our innermost thoughts. Therefore, at once it dawned on Sarah that this man speaking to her was the living God. It was at this point she knew that nothing was impossible for such a God. And Sarah believed wholeheartedly that God will fulfill his promise. Now, the expression, she judged him faithful who had promised, means Sarah thought it through and decided that God could be trusted despite her doubts and the delays. Sarah's faith rested on God's promise. And I want you to see three things here. Now, first of all, Sarah heard the promise of God. God said in Genesis 18 verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now Sarah heard the promise of God. This was not a vague hope. This was a specific word from God. Even though Sarah laughed, she heard the promise firsthand. She was confronted by God's truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, secondly, Sarah reflected on God's character. The writer to the Hebrews says she judged him faithful who had promised. The strength of any promise depends on the person who gives it. Now, when someone says to you, I give you my word, how good is that? You know, if the person is known to be unreliable or unable to fulfill his promises, his word is not worth much. But if a person is known to be trustworthy and able, his word means a lot. Faith comes down to judging that God is faithful and God is able to keep his promises. And no one is as faithful as God, and no one is as powerful as God. And so Sarah had to shift her focus from how can this be is lovable to who is the one who promised. If God said it, then he will do it. Faith is not about how strong we feel, but about how reliable God is. Now, the third thing I want you to note here is that Sarah chose to trust God's faithfulness. And so she reasoned, she weighed, she considered, and she made a judgment. Judgment is God can be trusted. She judged him faithful. She judged God faithful. She did not judge herself, not Abraham, not her body, but she judged God faithful. When we remember that the one who makes the promise is God, there comes the realization that however astonishing that promise may be, it must nonetheless be true. Faith involves trusting in God's promises, even when the circumstances seem overwhelming or impossible. And perhaps, you know, you are facing an intractable problem right now. And so it is important that we ask God to open our eyes to a deeper understanding of who He is. Don't always say it is impossible, but it is important for us to consider God is able. Now, we also need to be careful here about applying the promises of God. You may have heard or you may have met people who say to you, all things are possible with God. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what do you want? Name it and claim it. Nothing is impossible with God. The only limitation is your faith. Let me submit to you that this is not sound theology. Because our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in our faith. But our faith is in God who has promised. In this instance, God made a specific promise to Sarah. The promise was that Sarah in her old age would have a child. That promise was given to Sarah. That promise is not given to every person. God has not promised that every woman will have a child. And so it would be very cruel to say to a couple who longs for a child, Sarah, believe, and if you have enough faith, you can have children too. Likewise, God has not promised that every sickness will be healed, and God has not promised riches to all who believe. What is faith? Faith is trusting God to fulfill His promises. Faith is not trusting God to fulfill our wishes. Faith is tied to the promise. Thomas Manton, an English Puritan, said this: wherever we put forth faith, we must have a promise. Otherwise, it is but fancy, not faith. In other words, what is promised to us, faith rests on it. And so it is not an opportunity to assume that we can dictate to God whatever we want. It is God has given us certain promises, and like Sarah, we are able to receive what is promised to us. And so biblical faith rests on God's promise. Faith is believing that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do. And our God is a faithful God. Paul reminds the believers in Thessalonica, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. There will be twistings, there will be turnings, there will be disappointments, there will be failures. But God's promises will be fulfilled. And so to all of us, let me submit to you, trust not in the measure of your faith, but in the object of your faith, God Himself. Because faith does not create miracles, God does. Now, the third lesson that I want to share with you from Sarah's faith is this: faith receives power for the impossible. Now, God kept His promise. 1 year later, God gave Sarah a son, Isaac, in her old age. We read in Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken, or as He had promised. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Interestingly, the name Isaac means he laughs. You see, Sarah was laughing again, but in a very different way. Her laugh of doubt has become a laugh of joy, and tears of joy streamed down her face as Isaac was born, because her waiting has turned into witnessing the faithfulness of God. And so in verse 6, Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Well, by faith, God did that for Sarah at the age of 90. That Abraham and Sarah would have a child, humanly speaking, was impossible. And so it was a miracle. As Sarah said in verse 7, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? Who would have believed, or who would have said that Sarah would be a mother at the age of 90? Unless God supernaturally enabled Sarah to have a child, she would not have one. But faith receives what logic cannot explain. Faith does not deny the facts. It overcomes them by trusting a greater truth. And the greater truth is, she judged him faithful who had promised. God is faithful. God is reliable. Now, the Bible places special emphasis on the fact that this miracle took place in Sarah. Because if you look at Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. So it was Sarah herself who received this strength or this power to conceive. And so the miracle of Isaac's conception took place because strength came to Sarah. And that's why the spotlight is on Sarah's faith in this verse. We know later in the book of Genesis, we are told that after Sarah died, Abraham married again. And then he had six other children with his second wife, Keturah. And so though Abraham was very old, he was not beyond becoming a father. But Sarah, in her old age, Sarah by faith, receive God's power for the impossible. Now, this wasn't her willpower. This wasn't positive thinking. It was God's power entering her weakness. Sarah did not make herself fertile. God did. And she received it. Now, you see the word receive in Hebrews 11, verse 11. The word receive means to take hold of. God gave the strength, but Sarah received it by faith. Sarah took hold of what God had promised to her through faith. And the emphasis here is on faith as the means or the channel by which you receive from the hand of God. You see, faith brings into our possession what we did not have before. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." The Lord said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Do you believe the promises of God? Do you count Him faithful who has promised? And we need to believe with all our heart that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, faith is foundational to inheriting God's promises. And it requires us as believers to trust in God's character and also His word. You know, the worship chairman read earlier from Hebrews 11 verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith in God is crucial if we are going to see God work in our lives. You know, faith is that switch that connects us to the power of an omnipotent God. You know, a lamp will not turn on unless it's plugged into the power source. And faith is like that. It doesn't create the power, but it connects us to God's power. And so this morning, are you facing an overwhelming challenge? Here is a promise for you. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Are you struggling? Do you need the renewed strength? Here is a promise for you. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Do you need to find peace? Here is a promise for you. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." And God has what you need today, but we must ask with faith to receive. Why would we expect God to do great things through us if we don't ask? And how much more might we have received from God if we ask more and believe more? Now, Sarah had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of God's promise. It happened in God's appointed time. And God has many lessons to teach us here. But I'd like to just share two with you. First of all, one of the hardest things to do is to wait. Delay in life is difficult. Often we think God is too slow and He ought to act faster. But let me say this. Waiting upon God is not wasted time. It's training time. God did not delay because He forgot. He delays in order to grow our faith. Last week when Pastor was preaching from Hebrews chapter 6, there is a verse in chapter 6 verse 12. And it says of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do we inherit the promises of God? It says in that verse, through faith and patience. And the word patience there means perseverance. You see, faith and perseverance go hand in hand in the life of every believer. And Sarah's story reminds us that faith isn't about perfection. It is about perseverance. God's promises may take time, but they will never fail. Will you hang in there when you don't see the immediate fulfillment of the promise? You know, God often brings us to the end of our strength so that we will trust in His ability to do the impossible. Some of us think that the reason we struggle in our Christian life is that we are too weak. That isn't always so. The reason we struggle in our Christian life is that we do not recognize our own weakness for what it is. And so we often trust in ourselves. You know, we trust in our wealth, we trust in our accomplishments, we trust in our experience, we trust in our knowledge, rather than we trust in the Lord. But when we see our weakness and cast ourselves on the Lord's strength, then we are strong. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who are helpless. When they helped themselves, Abraham and Sarah came out with Hagar and Ishmael. When they were helpless, God gave them Isaac. Now, I think the second lesson that we see, why God made Sarah to wait for 25 years, was to align with God's bigger story or plan. If Isaac had come earlier, people might think it was just late fertility. But at 90 and 100, only God could have done this. It is as if God says, I will wait until it's so utterly impossible that no one will believe, and then I will make it happen. The delay made it undeniably God's miracle, not human effort or scientific engineering. Isaac wasn't just a child. He was the child of promise, the beginning of the line that would lead to Christ. And so it was not Ishmael, it was not Eliezer, it was the only child born to Abraham and to Sarah. It was Isaac, his own flesh and blood. You see, God's timing with Abraham and Sarah was part of a bigger redemptive plan. Sarah thought she was too old to be used by God, but God gave her a child in her old age who was to be the ancestor of Christ. Sarah's story highlights the importance of waiting patiently on God, even when we don't understand His timing or His plan. And sometimes the delay is not just about you, it's about what God is doing through you, and sometimes for future generations. God's delay has a purpose. And so rather than focusing on answers in this life, faith trusts God to keep His word in His time. Let me just end by saying this. Sarah, despite her struggles with doubts, in the end came to the place where she did believe and trust God to do what would have seemed impossible. Her life shows that even imperfect faith can be honored by God when it is rooted in trust in Him. Because faith is not about being perfect. Faith is about trusting the perfect God. God doesn't need flawless believers. He can work with struggling believers who are willing to believe. And so when your faith feels shaky, well, even Sarah laughed, and yet she received the promise. And I hope this will be an encouragement to anyone who has failed in the past or on time to time where you struggle in your Christian life, and you can claim great victories by faith. Keep on believing, keep on waiting, and keep on trusting, because God never fails. Let us look to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful promise that our God is faithful, reliable. And help us in our struggles, in our moments of doubts and unbelief, always remember, faithful is He who has promised. We pray, Father, in such circumstances, we may always look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, so that we may run the race before us with perseverance, that we may run the race well, that we may finish the course that You have set before us. We thank Thee for Your wonderful promise, even as we see in the life and the faith of Sarah, how, Father, You restore her faith in Thee. And so we want to come before Thee to acknowledge our weaknesses, our failings, our flaws. And we ask, Father, that Your Holy Spirit will work a work of faith continually in our lives. Hear this our prayers, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.